Have you ever wondered why some medical treatments that were once standard practice are now considered harmful? From placing babies on their stomachs, which increased SIDS risk, to routinely prescribing antiarrhythmic drugs after heart attacks, which increased mortality by 20-30%, healthcare history is filled with well-intentioned practices later proven dangerous. This is precisely why evidence-based medicine emerged, moving from "I think this works" to "the evidence shows this works." At its core, this approach combines systematic research with clinical expertise and patient values to make informed decisions. But with Medline alone containing over 29 million references and 2,000 to 4,000 new citations added daily, how can anyone possibly navigate this information jungle? This is where critical reading skills become essential, not just for researchers, but for every healthcare provider and informed patient. But with Medline alone containing over 29 million references and 2,000 to 4,000 new citations added daily, how can anyone possibly navigate this information jungle? This is where critical reading skills become essential, not just for researchers, but for every healthcare provider and informed patient. When approaching any medical paper, start by asking three fundamental questions. Why was this study needed? What research design was used? Was that design appropriate for the question? Different research questions require different study designs, each with distinct strengths and limitations. Randomized controlled trials, RCTs, minimize bias through random allocation, but often exclude complex patients who represent real-world populations. Cohort studies, like Sir Richard Dole's landmark 50-year study establishing the smoking lung cancer link, track groups with different exposures over time. Case control studies work backward from outcomes to exposures, particularly valuable for rare conditions. Cross-sectional surveys provide population snapshots, while case reports offer rich individual stories that might identify emerging conditions. AIDS and thalidomide's birth defects were both first recognized through case reports. While traditional evidence hierarchies place systematic reviews and RCTs at the top, modern approaches recognize that different questions require different designs. A methodologically flawed meta-analysis shouldn't outrank a well-designed cohort study. The grade system offers a more nuanced approach by considering factors like study limitations, inconsistency, and publication bias rather than simply ranking study types. When evaluating a paper's methodological strength, five questions determine whether to trust its findings. First, is the study original? It should contribute meaningfully through larger samples, improved methods, or addressing clinical uncertainties. Second, who is the study about? Research participants often differ from real patients in illness severity, demographics, and comorbidities. The underrepresentation of older adults, women, and minorities creates evidence gaps. A drug trial excluding patients over 75 may have limited relevance in primary care settings. Third, was the design sensible? Focus on outcomes that matter to patients, like survival or quality of life, rather than surrogate endpoints like lab values. Fourth, was bias avoided? Compared groups should be similar except for the specific difference being examined. Assessment bias occurs when evaluators know patients' group allocation. Fifth, were preliminary statistical questions addressed? Sample size calculations ensure sufficient power, while adequate follow-up duration and completeness are crucial for valid conclusions. After reviewing methods, you should be able to summarize the study type, participants, interventions, follow-up period, outcomes, and statistical tests used. Even if you're in Numerate, you need statistical literacy to evaluate medical evidence. Focus on understanding principles rather than memorizing formulas, and recognize common manipulation tactics. Cherry-picking significant p-values, ignoring data distribution requirements, selectively handling outliers, and performing unplanned subgroup analyses. P-values simply represent the probability that an outcome would arise by chance if no real difference existed. The standard threshold of p less than 0.05 means 1 in 20 significant findings will be false positives. confidence intervals are more informative, showing the range where the real difference likely lies. A blood pressure reduction of 10 mg/sg with a 95% CI of 8 to 12 mg/sg provides more certainty than one of 2 to 18 mg/sg. Statistical significance often matters less to patients than their actual chances of benefit. Consider coronary bypass versus medical therapy. Medical therapy had a 30.5% death rate at 10 years versus 26.4% with surgery. This represents a relative risk reduction of 13%, but an absolute risk reduction of just 4.1%. The number needed to treat NNT is 24, meaning 24 surgeries to prevent one death, a more practical measure for decision-making than p-values alone. Evidence-based healthcare integrates three key elements: research evidence, patient preferences, and clinical judgment, not just population averages. Individuals respond differently based on their genetic makeup, comorbidities, and circumstances. Patient-reported outcome measures, PROMs, capture what matters most to patients through self-completed questionnaires assessing domains like physical functioning, pain levels, and emotional well-being. Shared decision-making views patients as rational agents capable of meaningful participation in treatment decisions. Effective decision aids make complex evidence accessible through visual representations. Showing 5 in 100 people experience this side effect is more intuitive than 5% risk. Option grids overcome time constraints with one-page tables presenting treatment options as columns with rows answering common patient questions. For truly personalized approaches, N-of-1 trials allow patients to serve as their own control, receiving both intervention and control treatments in random order to identify individual response patterns. We stand at the cusp of an AI revolution in healthcare, with applications spanning risk prediction, clinical decision support, image interpretation, and treatment recommendations. Despite impressive capabilities, machines lack the nuanced understanding of human suffering and capacity for genuine empathy. Therefore, AI should augment healthcare professionals rather than replace them. Following WHO's principles of protecting human autonomy, ensuring algorithmic transparency, and promoting inclusivity, mechanistic evidence has emerged as a crucial complement to traditional approaches. The Cochrane Review of School Feeding Programs illustrates this perfectly. Beyond simple nutritional intake, success depended on biological factors like lactose tolerance, cultural acceptance of food choices, and complex family dynamics where school feeding sometimes led to reduced food allocation at home. This deeper understanding of mechanisms has profound implications for program design across healthcare interventions. As evidence-based healthcare has matured, its philosophical limitations have become more apparent. While standardization through guidelines can improve care quality, it can create rigid frameworks that don't adequately account for individual circumstances or clinical complexity. The relationship between evidence and policy has proven particularly challenging. What appears as technical debate about evidence often masks deeper disagreements about social values, resource allocation, and healthcare priorities.